How is it possible that so gifted a man had wound up in Lansing? That was what amazed Perry. The answer, which he knew but rejected as an evasion of the deeper, the human question, was plain to simpler minds. The chaplain's clerk, then 38, was a thief, a small-scale robber who over a period of 20 years had served sentences in 5 different states. Perry decided to speak out. He was sorry, but it was not for him. Heaven, hell, saints, divine mercy. And if Willie J's affection was founded on the prospect of Perry's someday joining him at the foot of the cross, then he was deceived and their friendship false, a counterfeit, like the portrait. As usual, Willie J understood. Disheartened but not disenchanted, he had persisted in courting Perry's soul until the day of its possessor's parole and departure, on the eve of which he wrote Perry a farewell letter, whose last paragraph ran, "You are a man of extreme passion, a hungry man not quite sure where his appetite lies, a deeply frustrated man striving to project his individuality against a backdrop of rigid conformity. You exist in a half-world suspended between 2 superstructures, one self-expression and the other self-destruction. You are strong, but there is a flaw in your strength, and unless you learn to control it, the flaw will prove stronger than your strength and defeat you. The flaw? Explosive emotional reaction out of all proportion to the occasion. Why? Why this unreasonable anger at the sight of others who were happy or content? This growing contempt for people and the desire to hurt them? All right. You think they're fools. You despise them because they're morals. Their happiness is the source of your frustration and resentment. But these are dreadful enemies you carry within yourself. In time, destructive as bullets. Mercifully, a bullet kills its victim. This other bacteria, permitted to age, does not kill a man, but leaves in its wake the hulk of a creature torn and twisted. There is still fire within his being, but it is kept alive by casting upon it faggots of scorn and hate. He may successfully accumulate, but he does not accumulate success, for he is his own enemy and is kept from truly enjoying his achievements. Perry, flattered to be the subject of this sermon, had let Dick read it, and Dick, who took a dim view of Willie J, had called the letter just more a Billy Graham cracker's hooey, adding, "Faggots of scorn. He's the faggot." Of course, Perry had expected this reaction, and secretly he welcomed it, for his friendship with Dick, whom he had scarcely known until his final few months in Lansing, was an outgrowth of, and counterbalanced to, the intensity of his admiration for the chaplain's clerk. Perhaps Dick was shallow, or even, as Willie J claimed, a vicious blusterer. All the same, Dick was full of fun, and he was shrewd, a realist. He cut through things. There were no clouds in his head or straw in his hair. Moreover, unlike Willie J, he was not critical of Perry's exotic aspirations. He was willing to listen, catch fire, share with him those visions of guaranteed treasure lurking in Mexican seas, Brazilian jungles,